two gospel lessons today from Matthew's account of Jesus' life and ministry in this world, from Matthew 13 and Matthew 17. As you are able, I invite you to stand for the reading and the hearing and the blessing of God's holy word. The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew, listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus put before them another parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." And then in Matthew 17, after the transfiguration, when Jesus and the disciples came to the crowd, a man came to him and knelt before him and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has epilepsy. He suffers terribly, and he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." Jesus answered, "You faithless, you perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you, and how much longer must I put up with you? Bring your son here." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was cured from that moment on. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately, I bet they did, and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." And as they were gathered in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man will be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised to new life." And the disciples were greatly distressed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. When we work together, as our children taught us this morning, we can move bags of pine straw and we can move mountains, making me think that when we work together, there is not a thing that can stand in our way from being and doing what God would have us to do. If I had to define faithfulness to God and church, if my friends and church members, Michelle and Toby Roth, rise to the top of that list. I'm so grateful to them. They have been an integral part of this congregation since their children were small, and they've served in so many roles. You'll hear about that. They're coming today to talk to us about the stewardship initiative that we are buttoning up for 2024 and what that has to do with faith the size of a mustard seed. I'm so grateful to Michelle and Toby for coming now to share a word.
Thank you, Jay. Michelle and I were asked to assist with and speak to you today about our church's stewardship effort. More specifically, FUMC's stewardship campaign currently stands at about 80% of our budget goal. How fitting that, as we discuss this challenge, during today's sermon, we'll be reminded of Francis's prayer focus of "Where there is doubt, faith." We can probably all agree that our current budget gap really comes as no surprise, given the difficult and divisive year our church has been through. But in reflecting on the challenges of the past year, it occurs to me that much of the conversation of the last 12 months has somehow been more about individuals, ministers, to be specific, current ministers, past ministers, and even ministers who have passed away. I submit to you today, as we focus on our stewardship and closing out our stewardship goal, it is time that the conversation turns back to where it should be, to this congregation and the ministries and programs that serve our members and the community that lies beyond these walls, as we carry out our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world.
Good morning. As members of First United Methodist Church, we all get into our own church routines that provide a narrower perspective on what our church offers. For the past 27 years, our family has participated in so much, but certainly not all that this church offers. We've enjoyed worship and our wonderful music ministry in this beautiful sanctuary and made lifetime friendships through the Christian education of our Sunday school programs. We cherish the precious memories of our daughter's baptisms, baby recognition Sunday, vacation Bible school, confirmation, mission trips, MYF, youth choir trips, senior recognition Sunday, and most recently, weddings. But beyond the experience of raising three girls, Toby and I have had the opportunity to witness so much more that our congregation provides. I've served on the Board of Trustees, and we have each chaired the Staff Parish Relations Committee. In these roles, we saw the impact that First United Methodist Church is making in people's lives through such programs as ECDC and Mother's Morning Out, Family Promise, 50 Plus, Disaster Relief, and Respite, which are just a few examples of this congregation serving as a resource for Montgomery, the River Region, and beyond. Through years of experiencing these services, our community now looks to First Methodist, First United Methodist, to support these needs. These meaningful and wonderful ministries meet needs that exist in the community and always will exist in our community. These needs will continue to demand our attention, our action, even while we debate amongst ourselves about issues of the day in our denomination and our broader society. It's imperative this congregation not be distracted by such debates from the critical work that Jesus called when he spoke of planting small mustard seeds that become trees, where the birds come and perch in its branches.
Since my father's passing 4 years ago, I encounter moments when I am reminded of him and even reconnect with him. Through this current work in the stewardship effort, I've been taken back to a memory some 40 years ago when my dad served as stewardship chairman at St. Paul United Methodist Church in my hometown of Muskogee, Oklahoma. Now, Bob Roth was always a tell-it-like-it-is kind of guy, and I recall he and my mother discussing what his message would be when he, like Michelle and me here today, stepped to the pulpit to deliver his stewardship message. I recall that Dad led off his remarks for the congregation that Sunday with one of his favorite truisms from a mentor and former boss of his. You can determine a man's priorities by looking at his checkbook. Then, much to my mother's chagrin, my dad proceeded to ask his captive audience in the pews if their priority was their country club dues, football season tickets, or their church. I was probably 14 years old that day. As of last week, I'm now 56. But as you can tell, these direct words from my father are as fresh in my mind as if I heard them yesterday. And as we talk today about the stewardship of First United Methodist Church of Montgomery, I urge you to reflect on my dad's words as well and review your own family finances and assess your priorities. Many, if not most of you, have made your pledge for this year and are tithing accordingly. Some of you did not make a pledge, but are nonetheless tithing on a regular basis. While we are grateful for that support, we would still appreciate your pledge for our budget and planning purposes. And some of you have not pledged or tithed, perhaps still weighing the conversations of the past year. But reflecting back on my father's words from long ago, when you review your own finances and your own priorities, please remember the value of this church is not reflected in individuals. It is rooted in our precious children, our dear and sometimes struggling seniors, local families in need, and our greater community, which have been enriched and have come to depend on FUMC's worthy missions and programs. As we consider the challenges facing our stewardship effort and these worthy missions supported by it, let us remember these words of Jesus to his disciples in Matthew 17 when he said, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Thank you for your support. Thank you for your faith.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Toby. You received affixed to your bulletin a bookmark, and I want you to have that before you today because not only is it beautiful artwork and aligned with our focusing on prayer, Francis's prayer, where there is doubt, faith. But you see that little thing in the middle there? That's supposed to be there. That's a mustard seed. Pretty tiny, huh? How about press it? Let it indent your fingers. Touch it and understand how small it is. And it is an analogy that Jesus was using so often. Our lay leader, Brad Norris, made all of these for us, about 500 of them, as an act of service and an act of love, and we're grateful for that. Brad had used this exercise before, and he said something to me, and I think it's quite powerful, that when you put this in your Bible and you close it, and the next time you go to it, it leaves an indentation on the pages, reminding us that if we'll just plant a little bit of God's grace in our life, mighty things can happen. Jesus used this illustration on a couple of occasions at least to talk about the kingdom of God. A kingdom sounds expansive and expensive. It sounds so big. But he said the kingdom of God happens in small ways, ways we don't even fully comprehend or understand. He said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed planted in a field, and then it grows into a bush and then into a tree. He said to his disciples on another occasion, if you just had faith this size, you could say to this mountain that belonged to King Herod, move from here to here, and the mountain would indeed move. Francis says, where there is doubt, a little bit of faith. Faith, Jesus says, the size of a mustard seed. Doubt is an interesting word, as is faith. The doubt comes in many different forms. Doubt can be positive or negative. Doubt can lead us to curiosity and to ask great questions about different truths. Doubt can also paralyze us. It can be some sort of symptom of an internal fear. It can lead us to cynicism and despair. And in the same way that a few weeks ago we talked about the importance of choosing to sow seeds of love and not sow seeds of hate, we have this choice, don't we? Will we doubt and spiral into some kind of fearful, paralyzed state and say, I will just wait and see how the future plays out before I decide to allow the power of Christ to change the world through me? So I've held this bookmark this week. I've pressed it into my fingers, and it's coming out of the back of my bookmark. So I'll need another one, Brad, when we finish with the service today. And I've seen mustard bushes in Israel. I've touched them. I've shaken them. I've held them. They are quite prolific. And I've seen the Herodian, the mountain that was moved. And I felt quite inadequate in the amount of faith that I have. And sometimes I don't feel like I have. I ponder why I read this text. If you have faith just the size of a mustard seed, you can do anything in the world. It perplexes me. It perplexes me when I think about things like cancer and relational complications and seasons of drought in one's life, or grief, or just a general wondering of where God is amid so much suffering in the world. Like if I just had more faith, I could fix hunger. With a little more faith, I could walk into hospital rooms visiting our people and say, you are healed. And spoiler alert, I cannot do that. I don't have that power. And I wonder sometimes what it means that I don't have that faith. Even Jesus' disciples at one point in his ministry, do you remember what they asked him? Lord, increase our faith. Do you remember that? Lord, increase our faith to get through this day. We say it too. In this life, Lord, we need a little bit more than a mustard seed size of faith. Like, give us an acorn size. Or spring is sprung now. Give us a root ball size. It's bigger. I can do more with that. And yet, Jesus had something a little different to say. We tend to think that Jesus is scolding his disciples for lack of enough faith, don't we? And It's my understanding from the Greek, you can read it a couple of different ways. One is the way that we oftentimes read it. If you were had enough faith the size of a mustard seed, you currently don't have it, but if you did, you could and should and would do these things, meaning shape up and get on board, disciples. But there's also, that's a future clause. There's also like this present tense clause. If you have enough faith the size of a mustard seed and you already do possess that, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying you already do possess everything that you need. You just don't realize it. The disciples' request for more faith is rejected. They miss the fact that they possess the amount of faith that God can use. I assume the conversation was something like Jesus taking a faith inventory. Hey guys, how much faith do you have? Not much, Lord, just a little bit. It's like a grain of salt or a mustard seed, to which Jesus says, perfect, that's all I need. I can work with that. You see, the faith required to be an agent and a servant of the kingdom of God, it's not a out-of-reach, top-shelf kind of faith. It's down there where the generic rice and cornflakes live, and anyone can grab it. So maybe we don't need more faith, or maybe we do. Maybe what we need is an awareness that the faith we need to make a difference in this world, to make a difference in this church, to make a difference in this community, to make a difference as nearly and as farly as we possibly are called, begins with each one of us stepping by faith into the future together. What do you say? Where there's doubt, faith. What if we heard that as a verb? Where there is doubt, do the faith. Faith. Ing. There's another part of this text that I really love. It's comical, really. I think Jesus is kind of a stand-up comic sometimes. Because the economy of God's kingdom, it never really computes. He doesn't give us math that always works out. He talks about the signs that point to God's kingdom, like weeds and wheat sown together in a field without a farmer knowing it. Yeah, right. Come on, that doesn't happen. Or a mustard seed planted in a field of all places. It's a garden plant. It's not a field plant. And it grows not into a bush. It grows into a tree. Come on. That doesn't happen. Mustard seeds make bushes, not trees, Jesus. Where are you going with this? Or the kingdom is like a sly baker who slips in a little bit of yeast so that to no one's expectation the bread rises, contaminates the whole loaf that otherwise could have been used for worship. So I've been thinking about all of these, and I just want to see if I have this straight, at least the one about mustard, which was not really desirable at all by farmers. They didn't want it in their fields. The kingdom of God is like something that is planted so small and it grows into a bush and a tree and nobody wants it? Actually, the Romans loved it. They believed mustard bushes were helpful for, well, gastro issues, we'll say. We Southerners, we have our own comparison. The kingdom of God is like Iliagnus or kudzu. It's like crabgrass. The kingdom of God is like kudzu and crabgrass. It's annoying and takes over everything. We would all be laughing right now if Jesus used those type plants. He chose mustard, the product known in the Roman world to cleanse the bowels. A little mustard seed, a little weed, a little shrub, a bush, a tree. A glorified above ground weed. That's what this mustard seed becomes. And there's humor there. Except for as much humor as the first century disciples would have heard this, they also got the point. For Christians in a world that values big markets and oversized garages and portfolios and governments thriving on power and control, for all who felt so small and so insignificant. In a world established on glamour, and grandeur in a world where only success matters and where there's no room for failure or imperfections. And by no means is there room for an uprising movement founded on love and equality. That's absurd. It's as absurd as a mustard bush in a field. But in fact, what Jesus might have been telling the church is that in the eyes of the world, the church, to the secular world, might look like a scruffy, gnarly, weedy bush that no one wants. It's lost its use and purpose. Except there are birds who need its shade and shelter. Mustard bushes are not celebrated where they're not wanted, except by the creatures who need shade and shelter. And it brings around a pretty common question. What am I really doing to make a difference in this world? You ever ask yourself that? What difference can I make? Should I make? I mean, we're not like a mega church with billboards and a fleet of vehicles gassed up and ready. We don't have sharks and scoots and private jets and blinding marquee smiles. And we might think that Jesus would have done better to say, the kingdom of God is like a cedar of Lebanon, or the oaks of Mamre, or the kingdom of God is like the Muirwood forest where the bears and the wolves and the elk live. But nah, let's be mustard-ish kudzu where warblers and wrens find a home. The kingdom of heaven, it's like a mustard seed which grows into a field, and everyone pauses and says, what in the world? Why a mustard bush, Jesus? Because that bush, like God's kingdom, is where the fragile and the insecure and the terrorized and the tired and the smallest, most doubtful creatures go for shelter and shade. And we give praise to the Lord of small things and for being a church with enough faith to be like mustard seeds and mustard bushes, a place where all people are welcome to rest and to nest and to perch and to search. So don't doubt that you are enough, because you are. And don't doubt that we are enough, because we are. Give up doubting for the remainder of Lent. Give up doubting that your time and your talents and your treasures can make a difference, because they can and they are. With faith the size of this seed in us, it can change the world. And when allowed to grow, this amount of grace can become the place where the weary and worn and the tired and the troubled and the pressed and the perplexed birds, all of us, may find rest in the shelter and shade of God's love. Where there is doubt, what? Faith. That's mustard. Amen.